Who ought to have a say on pay?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Some executives make more money than they deserve. Agree or disagree, that idea has taken hold in the federal government. Today, the House Financial Services Committee considers a bill to give shareholders a say on executive salaries and bonuses. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports on the bill they call Say on Pay.
The bill would force companies to give shareholders a vote on executive pay. Democratic Congressman Barney Frank says it's needed because allowing boards of directors to decide how much bosses make doesn't work.
The notion that it will be done by the board of directors, I think, is fruitless because boards of directors and CEOs are inevitably the closest of collaborators.
Any shareholder vote would be non-binding, which means boards could ignore it. Charles Elson directs the Center on Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. He says giving shareholders a say on pay could undermine the board's power and end up making management even less accountable.
Board is there to set pay. If you don't like what the board is doing, replace the board. If you take away their authority to effectively set pay, what about say on strategic planning or say on all kinds of other things, which dilutes the centralized authority of the board?
Elson says the problem of excessive compensation could be solved by allowing shareholders to nominate people to the boards, a practice that doesn't happen often. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A Boston jury is scheduled to hear arguments today in a music downloading lawsuit. The recording industry accuses a Boston University graduate student of illegally downloading 30 copyrighted songs. It is the second such case to go to trial in this country. Last month, a Minneapolis jury decided a woman owed almost $2 million for her downloading. Seating this Boston jury took longer than expected, in part because several prospective jurors were disqualified after conceding they, too, had downloaded music without paying for it. Checking stocks now, Wall Street prices floated up a bit yesterday, with the Dow rising 15 points to 9,108. Today, Asian markets were mostly higher. Japan's Nikkei was flat. The Japanese electronics giant Canon said quarterly profits fell 72%. Major European markets are flat so far. Europe's second largest oil company, BP, reported a big fall in profit this morning. Second quarter earnings were down by more than 50% compared to last year. And yet, analysts are hailing the figures as pretty good. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
BP made just over $3 billion in the second quarter, a 53% decline. But analysts say it could easily have been worse. After all, the price of oil has fallen steeply over the last year. Prices flirted with $150 a barrel last summer. They're now hovering around the $70 mark. Nick McGregor of brokers Redmayne Bentley says, considering the circumstances, BP's done rather well.
BP have delivered good results by controlling costs and effectively stripping $3 billion a year from overheads. BP's big advantage is they started cutting costs earlier than most of their peer group.
That cost cutting meant that BP shed more than 5,000 jobs. Other big oil companies like Royal Dutch Shell and ExxonMobil are set to report their figures in the coming days. McGregor says they now have a tough act to follow. BP's results may well prove the best of the bunch. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
After last fall's market meltdown, federal regulators put in place an emergency rule against naked short selling. Without getting too much into the nakedness, short selling amounts to betting against a stock, and the SEC decided the practice was driving markets down. The emergency temporary rule was supposed to expire Friday. Yesterday, regulators made it permanent.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
In this country, beauty supplies are mostly considered a woman's domain. In India's $20 billion a year grooming industry, the ads are increasingly directed at men. One of the popular male beauty products, skin lightener. From New Delhi, Raymond Thibodeau reports.
Fair and handsome. Sadharana fairness cream Magavari Getty Chamo.
In this TV ad, a 20-something Indian guy is out on the town, but finds himself rejected by several women, all with lighter skin than his. To his rescue comes Bollywood's biggest star, Shah Rukh Khan, with a bottle of Fair and Handsome Skin Lightening Cream. The young man applies the cream and ta-da! 4 weeks later, he's a few shades lighter, smiling and confident. And now the women are very interested.
In India and in much of South Asia, people here want to look more fair because fairness is linked to status and prosperity, definitely.
Meenal Patel is an analyst for the Indian Council for Market Research.
Such ads basically portray that you'll get the girl, you'll get the car, you'll get the money, you get the proper lifestyle, all because the skin is lighter.
Patel says the launch of Fair and Handsome Skin Lightening Cream 3 years ago started a boom for male grooming products. Ernst & Young research showed that so-called manscaping products were among India's fastest-growing consumer sectors, averaging about 20% annual growth. Sales of skin lighteners for men have leapt 150% in the small cities and rural areas. Che Kurian is editor of GQ India magazine, which launched last year.
A certain number of Indian men have always pampered themselves. Add to that a growing number of Indian men who've always wanted to splurge on themselves but couldn't afford to. Now they can.
Foreign beauty suppliers are cashing in. European giants Nivea, L'Oreal, and Garnier are jumping into the market. Procter & Gamble has announced plans to expand its Indian presence. And many luxury hotel chains in India now offer spas and salons for men, with pedicures, body waxing, and a manly-sounding rock facial. Could be a hard sell. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
I think I'll be using the word manscaping occasionally. A couple of Wisconsin entrepreneurs are hoping they can get people to buy face cream and lipstick, aspirin, all kinds of cheap stuff online. These products are called consumables, and they account for just a sliver of online sales. There's not much profit there. This Wisconsin company, Alice.com, says they want to go after that market and make money with online advertising. And, of course, they would sell your spending data to the manufacturers. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.